Afraid to come out of the locker room. She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker room. She was afraid that somebody would see.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today.
All right, it's summertime. We're talking about the beach, the pools. We're talking about water. Summers in Racine in the 50s and the 60s. And Jim Messier, Carol G, and Forte are here. Later on, I'll give Carol top billing. Carol G and Forte and Jim Messier are here. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, the reason, now, not the reason why, but you're getting the radio version, but the in-person version is coming up Monday night at, the Living...
Living Faith.
Living Faith Church,
on Wright Avenue.
Wright Avenue. 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And just fill up the pews, and you'll have the full presentation with, there'll be pictures on the big screen, and Marcia Condit's going to be there.
Right. A few videos and a special guest.
We have a special guest.
Oh, a special guest.
Yes.
Right.
That happens to be who we're sitting with right now, isn't it, Jim?
That's not special. I thought you were really going to have someone special.
No, not
ordinary.
We have three songs of the era, and the only person that could rightly introduce those songs is the person we're sitting with right now.
That's right.
So let's talk about this, because I didn't grow up here in the 50s and 60s. I grew up on the ocean, on the East Coast, but this is, you have beaches here, you have pools here. Let's talk about some of that.
Well, thanks, Don. We're glad to be back again. Yes, we had our Washington Park swimming pool where just about every baby boomer learned how to swim. Right, Carol? I think it cost, 35 cents a lesson?
Red Cross was located there.
That's right. The pool was built in actually 1939 through the help of Mayor Roy Spencer, and it cost $150,000. Location was, as everybody knows, just a little west of Park High School and behind the Washington Park Community Center. And it was really considered state-of-the-art when it was built. But like I said, about everybody, every kid in town either went swimming there or learned how to swim there. Right, Carol?
And we were saying the other day, Jim, why is it so important in so many of our memories? What if it had been a rectangular swimming pool, and we decided it wouldn't be the same.
No, you couldn't have an island in it.
The beauty of this place and the island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was like this Hollywood set with this centerpiece.
That's right. Yep. The island, of course, what I think made that pool so unique. You had to swim out to the island after going through a gate in a little fenced off area. And then you swim out to the island, and you join thousands of other kids on that island, you know, jumping off of diving boards and just sitting on the island. That was like a status symbol.
Once you made it
out to the island, you were a somebody.
And I think we found in our reminiscing, Jim,
mm-hmm.
I'm throwing in this right now, but the nitty gritty
mm-hmm.
back to our downtown dance venues,
mm-hmm.
that is now the Main Street Bakery. And at the nitty gritty, using it, how many people were in there at one time?
Yeah.
It seemed like there were 500 people.
Oh, geez.
How many people stood on the island in Washington Park Pool?
Oh, about
100 at one time?
Right.
I mean, we had no safety codes, apparently.
How deep was the pool where people jumped off? I mean, was it deep enough at that point where they didn't hit their face on the bottom of the pool?
No. We did some research. It was 16 feet in the deep
end. Oh, so that was good enough. That was good enough to jump off.
Yeah. And they were jumping constantly.
Well, I didn't know how deep it was. If it was like 4 feet deep and you jump off, it's going to hurt.
That's a good question.
You know, I went back there with my wife because, again, I never saw the pool. So we drove back to that site. The building where people had to walk through
mm-hmm.
and pay their, like, was it the shower lockers or whatever they were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's still there. It's intact.
Right. Yeah.
The pool is gone. Everything is gone.
Yeah.
They built a tennis court over the
what a joke that was.
This is kind of a sad story now.
And it like was sinking.
Began to sink.
Who was the contractor for that
why
job?
Why would they build it over a giant open hole?
I don't know.
That didn't make sense. Anyway, I saw the area, And we brought up photos while we were parked there. This is by Park High School.
Yeah.
We were brought up the photos, and we were looking at it. They have, like, gardens they set up
yes.
for the school for horticulture or whatever.
Yeah.
And just looking at the pictures of all those hundreds of people having fun, and now look at it. Yeah. It's just a parking lot.
It's difficult to think about.
An old tennis court and some plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
It was sad just to look at those photos and look what was going on in those days. And
Just you and your wife went to Kitty Land.
Oh, that was also depressing,
yeah.
I mean, there's a little plaque that you got to look for. The site
it's
of
right
Kitty
by
Land.
It's right by the river.
Right.
Because people were having a picnic there that day, and they looked at us pulling up. I said, I don't want to go through their picnic to read a sign. They'll call the police on us. Anyway, so it's very depressing to go back
and
see where things were.
Mm-hmm. And now where Shopko was, and that big storage unit now that has replaced that, that was the outdoor.
The outdoor theater,
yeah.
Do you know, in the book that I wrote, I thought this was so clever, I have to admit. I have a chapter, and in it, I introduced the term double vision, meaning, you know, you see the river, but some of us see Kitty Land.
Hmm. Oh, that's good.
You know, you see the park pool in your mind, but you see the garden plots.
Yep, that's what
Don one had. One of my readers pointed out to me, I guess, that I didn't do it right, because I thought it was quite the concept. And she said to me, I feel so bad about your eyesight. I really feel terrible for you.
See, out of one eye, you're seeing the pool. Out of the other eye, you're seeing the tennis court. That's
right.
Just one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a double vision, really.
It is, and that happens to everyone. As you get older, all these sights are vanishing, and you
see both.
Right, you see what your memories brought.
We have to tell our eye doctors about this.
I went back to an old neighborhood I used to go to all the time by the beach growing up, and it was flattened when I went there. Now it's an industrial building, but all these bungalows were there when I was growing up in Queens, and they're all gone. And I went back with my brother. I said, we should never have come back here.
No.
Because the memory I have now
is... I know. It's distorted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know all this was going on.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, our pool was demolished in 1968, after the last season, only 27,000 people went to the pool in 1968. Now compare that to 1959, when it was 87,000. So, but the cost to replace it or repair it was just too great, and the city decided to fill it in and give that land to Park High School, which they apparently really needed. And that was the end of our park pool, and a lot of precious memories are all that's left of that once famous pool.
So how many years was it open altogether from start to finish?
39 to 68. So do the math. It's too early for me.
Yeah.
29 years.
Okay. Let's not embarrass ourselves.
No, 29.
Several decades.
That was
let's
pretty
say several
easy.
Decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Great part of our history. Now, when we think about the beach, Jim.
Yes.
We're going to talk about three different beaches.
Yes, let's
and
move on
have,
to the beach.
We have two of them really intact compared to Park Pool, which we know is no more, gone.
Right. Yep.
But we
yep.
do have these natural wonders.
That's right.
Thank goodness.
That's right. So let's start talking about
going to the beach.
Going to the beach.
Mm-hmm. It sure was such a big part of our life. And I think just like Park Pool and the other Scooping the Loop and all of it, when we go back, it's intertwined, not just the place, but with our growing up. Fond memories as kids, crazy memories as teens, it's all intertwined. But when you just in general go back to the beach, you think of the summers with the blue sky and the hot sand, and you think of digging to China. Our mothers bringing us, our dads to there with our brothers and sisters. As teens, I have to say, I did my share of looking for boys. Did you do your share of looking for girls?
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons you went there.
And then teens, we think of, for girls anyway, too, getting the suntan. Boy, did we work hard on that.
And if you had known
exactly.
it would come back and haunt you someday with cancer,
that's right.
would you have done it?
Well, I'm sure a testimony with lines in my face. I mean, that really. But we didn't probably realize then, just like we have said this about the pool and the outdoor, we didn't realize how precious this place was. But thank goodness, it does still exist.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought this would last forever, maybe our youth too. So Jim, we had, as I say, three beaches to pick from. Now, I was a North Sider, and you were the South.
Right.
So pretty much, we both ended up not ever knowing each other, but at North Beach. But of course, being a North Sider, that seemed like second nature to go to North Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was, as we know, still today. But can you imagine as a child, Michigan Boulevard, getting close to the beach, and looking out at that view down the big hill, and the sandbar, people out to the sandbar, sailboats out there, but the amount of sand, especially as a kid, what you would think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So how it was very easy to get to and still is. We could just walk down steps at High Street, and there still is a kind of a monument there at High and Michigan, not commemorating the steps, but something a little more historic than that. Or there was the driveway that looped around. It started over by the bandshell.
Mm-hmm.
So you could ride your bike or the car could go down there and reach sand level. It was a loop.
Yeah.
But it was the largest, most packed, probably a half to one block of sand depth. And several blocks long.
Yep. And there were many lifeguards on duty there, as there still is, because it was Racine's most popular beach and by far the largest. Carol mentioned a sandbar. I remember as kids, there usually was a sandbar there. And as kids, we would walk out to it and then get up on that sandbar and just wave to everybody on the beach, like, hey, look at us, everybody. Yeah, we're proud to be out here. So,
by the way, you know where the lifeguards keep all their equipment?
No.
It's under the bandshell.
Oh,
is it?
Currently,
yeah, I live a block and a half from there, and I used to walk my dog by, and I used to see them. They open up under the bandshell. There's steps to go down, and that's where they store all their stuff.
Mm. I'll be darned. Wow.
I didn't just let a secret out of the bag. I mean, people...
Now, North Beach was our only beach with its own snack bar, of course, and which is still there. And just interesting information, at one time there was a South Beach in Racine. Of course, that was south of the river, and that was a long, long, long time ago. When we have our program next Monday, we'll have a photo of that or an image of that. But there was at one time a South Beach. Interesting, huh?
And whereabouts was that?
Well, it was south of the river. Behind where the old gas company was.
Oh, really?
You know, around there. Yeah, that was a beach at one time.
Okay.
You sound like somebody who's coming to a new town. Yeah, and I've been there before. Make a left where the old beach house used to be about 30 years ago.
Right.
Make a right where the old gas station used to be. You know what? When I used to go to the beach when I was a little tiny kid, my mother used to try to get the sand off me before we went in the car. She used to take the towel and, like, you know, whip it around to get, and it hurt. Not the sand hurt.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was everywhere. It was in my bathing suit. It was everywhere. And she used to try, and it was in my hair. And she wanted to get it out before we went in the car because she didn't want the sand all over the car. And she used to run. And I said, it hurts. But they had little showers there, but, you know, there's a line to use them. And she just said, let me whip that towel all over it. Come on, Mom.
So who would think when you say going to the beach, well, sand, I mean, that is the cornerstone. Besides the water, but sand, walking on it, laying on it, getting rid of it at the end. Well, then being the North Sider, there was the Zoo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was a little bit more remote than a North Beach, so it was not as crowded, but it had the same type of sand, not rocks or anything like that, the same beautiful, fine sand. There were steps to go down to the Zoo Beach, and they were, of course, right at the east of the zoo. Now, if you were walking, if you walked through the zoo, which was free at the time, and as kids, we think it was chock full of animals. So if you entered on Gould Street or North Main, I mean, just your walk to find the eastern steps. If you entered on Gould Street, there were the bears. And little did we think that they were in confined quarters at the time, but it pains me to think of they were like in shoe boxes. Mm-hmm. And then Monkey Island you went by, and the mountain goats, and all the birds, and you could hear a lion roar occasionally.
You can hear them in the morning. Mm-hmm. When I used to walk my dog in the morning, I used to like Leo the Lion from MGM. I just went to the zoo yesterday because my wife and I walk at the zoo. So we bought a club, you know, a membership just so we can walk. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the bear's there. I mean, luckily they feed him because little kids are walking by and he's licking his lips. I mean, the only thing separating me is a plexiglass window.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, with the kangaroos, I just love that place.
Yeah.
Sure. It's been a part of our city for forever, yeah. I'll say.
That's right.
And there were lifeguards at Zoo Beach. Again, those concrete steps, though, I seem to well remember by the time I was a teen, there would be the older teen guys sitting casually on the black railings, and they were just inspecting any female that went by. It was like being on a runway or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that your South Side, though, you were at the 14th Street Beach?
On occasion, yeah. We can't forget about the old 14th Street Beach. It's long gone now. That was the smallest of our city beaches. It had a few lifeguards there, too. Now, there were also concrete stairs going down from Main and 14th all the way down to the beach. And I remember there was a bubbler on top of the stairs. Don, you don't know the term bubbler, do you?
Well, I know it now.
You know it now.
When I first
moved
here, I didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. That's a Midwestern or Wisconsin thing, I guess. But and there was a sandbar about halfway out to the breakwaters as well. But it was mostly frequented by Southsiders. It was a lot less crowded. If you didn't want to put up with crowds at North Beach, you just went to either the Zoo Beach or the 14th Street Beach. It's gone now because the current was actually rerouted. When the breakwater was not connected to Sam Myers Park, there was an opening there. The current flowed through there. But when the city extended the breakwater to land, that rerouted the current. And when it came back to shore, it completely devastated the sand or the North 14th Street Beach. And it even started to erode some of that, cliffs there, too. So what the city had to do was dump a bunch of huge rocks where the 14th Street Beach used to be. And they're still there, of course. One advantage about going to the 14th Street Beach, besides not having to worry about crowds, you had a great view of the Reef Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, that still is.
Yep. How did we get there,
Carol?
A great
photograph.
Yeah.
Well, that was half the fun of the day.
Yep.
Getting to the beach, just like going to a Washington Park pool. We talked there about walking for miles and getting to the pool. But now, as kids, it would be very exciting if our parents or neighbor moms on a weekday, if they were going to drive us. So we'd pile into one of those big station wagons, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No seat belts.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends, Kay, one of her favorite places in the car was behind the back seat, at the top of the back seats, between that top and the window. So station wagons loaded in. And so.
Finish your thought.
Oh, okay, okay. You're giving
our bikes too, right?
signals here.
Yeah.
Or we rode our bikes.
Yep.
Safety, no worried about crime. We could just drop our bikes there. I think many boys rode their bikes, though.
Yeah, the good old days, no seatbelts, flying through the front windshield when we stopped short, landing on the hood of the car.
We missed that.
Oh, the good old days.
Right.
Oh, we'll take a quick break. We have news coming up. Now, what you're hearing this morning is talking about the pools, the beaches, summertime in Racine in the 50s and 60s. Carol Gianforte, Jim Basira here. And this is going to be a complete presentation and a video presentation as well. At the Living Faith Church on
Wright Avenue.
On Wright Avenue this coming Monday night, 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And it should be a lot of fun. You'll have videos, you'll have slides, you'll have everything, because right now we're just on radio doing it. And this will be a full blown presentation. Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that.
Two girls for every boy. I bought a 34 wagon and we
Surf City, Jan and Dean. We're talking to Carol Gianforte and Jim Basir. We're talking about...
Beach.
Is that your chair squeaking?
What kind of chairs do you give us here?
We're talking about summertime, the beaches, the pools in Racine, and bringing back memories from the 50s and 60s. And let's continue on.
Okay, well, getting to the beach, like Carol said, was half the fun. I don't know about that. But before we drove, we took the bus, or our parents dropped us off or whatever, and sometimes we walked. But for me, the Green Line went right in front of my house, so I just simply hop on the bus, got a transfer to the White Line. The transfer was always down by the dime stores heading south and Penny's heading north. So I would get off the Green Line, race to the White Line while breathing those nasty fumes, and then we'd get dropped off near the beach, right on Main Street. But that was probably the best way to get to the beach before you had your own car. How'd you get there, Carol?
Well, I was going to ask, how long did it take you on that bus ride overall then, Jim, would you say?
You know, I think it probably took about a half hour altogether with
well,
all the stops
too,
and transfer.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, well worth it.
And had a lot of fun along the way.
Absolutely.
Well, my story about we walked to the beach. Now, thinking about walking and getting ready for this program, do you know, Jim, I don't think we ever as kids said, well, how many miles is that?
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, we better hurry up because we've only got 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was much more carefree than that.
Sure.
Just walking. Mm-hmm. So my route was down Carlisle Avenue to High Street, where Horlick Athletic Field is on that corner. And there we would start picking up friends who lived along the way down, going straight east on High Street. Now, this was our junior high walk anyway, because we went to Washington Junior High. But first stop could have been a Northside drugstore in case we needed some extra see and ski or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then we walked past Strove Funeral Home. We were always on that side of the street, always a little mysterious. We could see our junior high over at the side. Then we went past Durango's that was our hangout after basketball games. And finally down to Derry's drugstore, mm-hmm. and at last to the stairway going down to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And all the while, very exciting because we were anticipating a great afternoon at the
mm-hmm.
beach.
Now, as young teens and adults, we drove ourselves, of course. We'd use our own cars or our parents' car. At that time, I was driving a red 54 Chevy convertible. I had it for about 4 years, and would you believe after the 1968 summer season, I sold that thing for $100. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life.
So,
but there's so many stories about being at the beach, right, Carol?
Well, yes, and I think when you boil it right down, the sand is a lot of the basis of our memories, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The hot, hot days, the hot sand. So even with our flip-flops or our Converse or kids' shoes, sandals. We had to walk fast. Sometimes we decided to walk to the water's edge where it was cooler. We had to plan sometimes, should we walk to the snack bar, those drumsticks, ice
mm-hmm.
cream bars.
Mm-hmm.
So the hot, hot sand and was a big part. It was a big part of our memory.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we had the snack bar there, which we all went to, right?
We sure did.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's right, yeah.
Drumsticks?
Yep. Now, all the beaches were packed on Sundays. Families went there, and it was really just jam-packed. Families usually went to North Beach. I know as kids, my mother would take my sister Kathy and me to North Beach almost every day during the week. She'd pack a lunch and then a large jug of Kool-Aid. And my sister and I would wade in the water and build sandcastles or dig in the sand, like you mentioned. We were digging to China, as she would say.
We could do that for hours, couldn't we?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another memory would be the cold water.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes,
yeah.
In the low to mid-60s.
Yep.
But then again, as children, we were braver about it,
mm-hmm.
wading in it.
Yep.
But as teens... Now, if we went in the water or out to the sandbar, fine. But often what happened is teens, because we had a new purpose now. We rely on the phrase looking for members of the opposite sex. But we would walk at the water's edge. Cooler sand, wet, but we would walk north, we'd walk south, in groups, two, three, four girls at a time, mm-hmm. maybe looking for friends, and especially guys. But now we also had another purpose at the beach, the memory of getting a suntan. Now, this was serious business. Fun as it was, this took planning, and this took hours.
Mm-hmm.
We would lie on our stomachs, then we would have to turn over. And then we would maybe take the edge of our swimming suit strap and check every once in a while. Was it whiter than the rest mm-hmm. of our skin? Mm-hmm. How was the tan going?
Yeah. Now, rumor had it that the Zoo Beach was known for having many attractive single girls there. That's why a lot of us guys would go to the Zoo Beach.
We learned that one thing.
Yeah.
You're a horn dog. All these things are based on you being attracted to girls at the beach, at the
versa.
Pool.
Yeah.
And wow.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
We learned something.
Yeah. The old lifeguard stations were tall wooden chairs. That's what they really were, just tall wooden chairs, and had a rowboat chained to the chair. There was a sign which displayed the water temperature, I remember, and the sign also says, "Do not talk to the lifeguard." Okay. I don't think that sign is there anymore. But most lifeguards were young guys who were physically fit with great tans. Right, Carol? That's what I remember.
Yeah. Well, I guess I looked at a few of those lifeguards.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I'm sure you did.
I agree with you.
Now, there were necessities we had to bring to the beach, right?
There were necessities. So you could not be at the beach without your suntan lotion, at least gals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if guys brought suntan lotion. I don't think you bothered with it.
No,
you're
too much trouble.
You just burned.
Yeah.
But we gals, we wanted to, little did we know about UV lights,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to get that deep, dark, even bronze tan.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at magazines like 17 and Photoplay, Mademoiselle, and so they had all these ads to make us think about our tanning. So some of these brands, we had a lot of brands to pick from.
Right.
Now, I still have trouble saying this one, Ban au Soleil. I've been practicing that.
Oh, they had a great radio commercial, Ban au Soleil.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember that, Don.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Have a love affair with the sun or something like that. Wasn't it?
Really?
Ban au Soleil.
Yeah. Ban au Soleil.
Ban au Soleil.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, in looking this up for this great research that I do, this also said, you know, this was for a French tan, whatever that is. And that was also a Saint-Tropez tan. And then I had to laugh because I pronounced Saint-Tropez until I was in my 30s.
Well, you get to look like Brigitte Bardot with a French tan. And Ban au Soleil was real simple. It was Ban the Sun. Soleil, Ban of the Sun.
Oh.
Ban of the Sun.
Well, you're a researcher with us, Don. We appreciate your extra help here. Copper tone. That was the most popular, get a copper tone tan.
Oh, that famous photo.
The girl in that photo, I have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
She's a famous actress.
No kidding.
I'll look it up. In a second here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the next necessity for the bronze tan happened to be our own concoction, Johnson baby oil and iodine. A lot of girls did that. Now, I looked that up recently, and do you know what? It's scary to read about. We not only didn't know about the UV lights but with the iodine and all, we were attracting them. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Skoll and Gabby, that was a tan gloriously. Tartan, lets you tan and never burn. But then I think a competitor of Copper Tone became Sea and Ski. And that was Best of the Sun, but Sea and Ski, that broke through being waterproof. Now, if you did burn, well, you know what I'm going to say next.
Mm-hmm.
The blue jar, the blue round jar, open it up, menthol, camphor, eucalyptus, that white cream, cooling, cooling. I can't imagine the millions of jars of Noxzema that were sold to treat sunburn. And Solarcaine, stop sunburn pain with Solarcaine.
All this could have been avoided if you didn't sit out in the sun. By the way, the little girl was Sherry Irwin in the ad. In the TV commercial, the little girl was 3-year-old Jodie Foster.
Really?
That was in the TV ad, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was somebody famous.
Very famous.
But that she was in the TV spot, not the print ad.
Yeah, okay. Hmm. That print ad was very, very famous and popular.
Yes, yes. And we're going to be showing that ad at our program.
Right.
In person. So if you want to see that ad, you must come to the program.
It's not X-rated, though, is it?
Another necessity for girls. Do you believe this? The white bathing cap. In those days, it was all white. With that chin strap that would be tight under your chin. But those bathing caps, you know, they never really worked. I mean, like say a gal had a flip hairdo. That was hairspray. And now you have a bathing cap that lets in water. It was quite a mess. And some girls use Sun-In to make their hair look lighter. And then sunglasses. Now, we had a role model, Jackie Kennedy, who wore sunglasses. So whether we knew it or not, maybe down deep, we knew that sunglasses could make a statement for us.
We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Jim and Carol, and we're talking about the beaches, the pools, all the great memories of growing up in Racine in the 50s and 60s. Suntan oil, huh? Yeah. All right, more coming up with Jim and Carol in just a moment. Local news, timeless hits right here at WRJN.
Today's big deal of the day. Power your summer the tasty way with Arrow Smoothies and Cafe. Whether you're beachbound or you just need a boost, they got you covered with icy, refreshing smoothies and supercharged acai bowls bursting with real wholesome energy. Go to WRJN.com right now. Click the big deals banner and purchase $20 worth of gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Summer is here. Get some extra cash today with an installment loan up to $2,500 from your friends at AmeriCash Loans. AmeriCash Loans is a licensed lender with locations throughout Wisconsin. Just come by the Kenosha store at 6430 Green Bay Road, right in front of Lowe's. You can also call the store manager right now at 262-605-9777. That's 262-605-9777. Or visit AmeriCashLoans.com to apply online. That's AmeriCashLoans.com. Restrictions may apply.
When words fall short, let Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha speak for you with stunning floral arrangements. For birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and corporate events, let their breathtaking bouquets and elegant designs set the perfect tone. Include indulgent DeBrand truffles or a signature Carrie's candle featuring relaxing scents like Wisconsin Northwoods, Ocean Breeze, or Mom's Home. Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue. Open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius, or two half geniuses, and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
WRJN.
right, let's continue with Jim and Carol. And we're talking about growing up at the beaches, the pools, and getting sunburned in Racine in the 1950s and 60s. When you didn't know if you got sunburned, you were out in the sun all summer long, you got possibility of skin cancer. Nobody even gave it a thought
Now
they're thinking about it all the time. But back then it was, let the sunburn. That's two things I mentioned. I mentioned, first of all, the sand was always on me. And when I got back from the beach, and we had to take a shower to get this all the rest of the stuff off us, it was just horrible, that sunburn. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I was walking around, you know, remember when Lucy had that sunburn that time? That's what I was walking around like.
All right. We suffered for the challenge.
Yeah. All the products that Carol mentioned for suntan, there was one for guys. It was called Man Tan. I don't know if any guys remember that. It was like a shave lotion you would just apply to your face. So the only place that on your body that which you could get a suntan was your face. But that was exclusively for guys. There was another product on the market called QT, and that was for an instant suntan. And if you ever remember people who their skin turned like an orange, that's because they use QT.
A little too much QT?
Yes, and you could always spot the fake suntan. You knew right away because their skin was orange. Of course, another necessity at the beach, of course, was transistor radios. That was a must for every beach blanket. I mean, we tuned into the popular stations back then, the rock stations, WLS, WOKY, WCFL for rock and roll. Now, of course, we tune into WRJN. But we listen to, oh my gosh, I can go on forever, Bob Berry, Dick Biondi, Clark Weber, Jim Dunbar, Art Roberts, and so many more. And some of the more popular summer songs I remember were Wooly Bully, Sam the Shaman of Pharaohs, California Girls, Help Me Rhonda, Hard Day's Night, and so many more. We also had fun tossing the frisbee and beach balls around. Beach balls were, if you remember those, Don, those huge air-filled, just plastic.
We had them where I lived. I didn't live in the medieval era, and we had them.
Right. Also frisbees. And the original name for a frisbee, Carol found this out, was called the Pluto Platter. The Pluto Platter. When Whammo took over in 1964, they changed it to the term frisbee. And can you imagine going to the beach and say, "Hey, let's throw the Pluto Platter around a little bit"? I don't think so. You know, some of those originals are worth quite a bit. Carol found one on eBay for $350, one of the original ones.
I thought you needed that for your collection.
Oh,
I didn't bid on it, though.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Racine. Otherwise, I would.
Volleyball really had not been invented, so to speak, for the sand.
It wasn't
sand
popular
volleyball.
Then.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. That's right.
Well, one last thing for gals, a necessity we've been talking about, was the right swimming suit. Now, if you didn't care, you were lucky. But if some of us thought, well, we need a suit that would be accentuating what might be okay and hiding what wasn't okay, that took hours of trying on. But one pieces were generally what we wore. Finally, the two-piece came in. But during our era, very few bikinis, even though we have that as our theme song here. It really hadn't hit Racine yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we were lucky to have all these wonderful memories and places, Jim.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It seems like just a couple of years ago, we were down at the beach, you know, looking for girls or guys in your case, and just getting a nice suntan and enjoying your friends there and the weather and everything. And now it's,
it's still there, but we aren't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think we'd fit in anymore.
No, we wouldn't fit in anymore. No, that was tied in with our youth.
So let's talk about that. Everything you heard here will be expanded, plus there'll be video and stills, pictures, and so forth. And this will be this coming Monday, 7 p.m., Living Faith Church on Wright Avenue. It starts at 7 o'clock sharp. And it should be a lot of fun. I know your son, Mark, has been putting together the video presentation. I saw his in the past. Very good. And
but Don, we're awfully glad that you're joining us.
Yeah, Don will be there too.
We'll see. My agent's still working on it. Okay,
we're lucky.
Yeah, so looking forward to it. And this will bring back a lot of memories for a lot of people, and can't wait. Now, let's talk about what you're doing in the future.
Right.
Sure.
Jim, take it away.
Carol, will take it away. Now, for September, we're going to be talking about the summer of 1965. My class at St. Cat's just had a reunion, and I gave a little presentation or a little talk about what we did in summer of 65. So we're going to recap a lot of the activities that we used to enjoy back in, like I say, the summer of 65. And that would include the outdoor theaters, of course, the Venetian and Rialto, Scooping the Loop. What else?
It was, I read your talk, and it just summarized.
Yeah.
So much of what we experienced in 65.
Yep. The dance venues, the Ivanhoe, Nitty Gritty, the Y dances.
I don't know how we're going to fit it all in.
I don't know either.
So you'll read a part of your talk, and then we'll embellish that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on.
Mm-hmm.
So the summer of 65.
Summer of 65, right. Yeah.
Do you remember the, did you? What songs did you save for for your reunion talk? Do you remember?
Wooly Bully, I think, came out in June of 65.
I just saw a picture of Sam the Sham recently.
Oh, yeah. He's still...
He looks the same. He doesn't have a turban, but he got gray hair, but he looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
He didn't change at all.
So. That's right. Yeah.
Do you guys feel really bad when you drive past the Y and it's gone?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
Yeah. The Y dances and learning how to swim there for some kids. And,
Yeah. Someday there'll just be a plaque there, if that.
Well, they could build something else there.
But I mean, there'll be a plaque that you and Terry can go and find?
Well, I'm thinking that the Carol Gianforte Philanthropic Foundation for the Preservation of Historical Things in Racine is going to put a plaque there. That's what I was thinking.
There's a dollar in our treasury, I think. That's
right.
Thank you guys for coming
in.
Thank you. This was great.
We always make a great time.
Now, if people missed anything, we're going to podcast this late tonight or early tomorrow morning. You'll be able to find it, and it will be at WRJN.com and wherever you get your podcast. And thank you guys very much. Do appreciate it.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here.